Hey, welcome back, friends, to the Amber May Show. So glad you were here joining me today because I have an interesting story for you. Okay, so I am interviewing Zachary King. He grew up in a Christian family, and then he got really involved and he loved magic so much that he ended up finding himself in a satanic coven. And then he literally had a come to Jesus moment at his job. So we're going to be talking to him. It's going to be probably a part one, two, probably three or four. I don't know how long it will go, but we're definitely not covering it all in today's episode. So make sure you tune in again for the continuation of the story of Zachary King. So do that. And please like, share, and subscribe. Please do that. Like, share, and subscribe. If you believe in what I'm doing, please consider becoming an angel investor. And the easiest way to do that is by going to the website at theambermayshow.com, click the donate button, and donate whatever you think you could donate for the program. Or you can go to theambermayshow.locals.com and become a $5 monthly subscriber. That would be so fantastic. We carry on more conversation on Telegram, so join us at Telegram at The Amber May Show. You can find me at True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, and I also join Clout Hub. So you can find me there as well. So coming up next is Zachary King. From saying no to allowing you to go to this place?
Because they knew a lot of the people that were there. A lot of those people that lived there or that did stuff there went to my church. My parents were all in favor of my church. I wanted the more church activities I wanted to do, the better. You know, we had 12 deacons. 11 of my deacons hung out at this place, and they were also Freemasons.
Ooh, we need to jump into that for a little bit. The Freemasons, the fact that your 11 deacons that are hanging out of the Satanic Coven are going to your church. See, this blows the Christian mindset. Like I don't understand. How do you go to church and participate in, because at this time you don't know it's a Satanic Coven. You're going to find out probably down the road. But we both know right now it's a satanic coven, and you're telling me that 11 deacons from your church were hanging out of this were they satanic worship? Well, obviously, if they're Freemasons, right, then they were satanic worshipers. Isn't that the same? Like, aren't Freemasons a part of the satanic world?
They are part of the satanic world, but a lot of them don't know it. In your early stages, like if you don't advance past a certain point, in an early stage, you do an oath to Jesus. So you think you're in a Christian organization. And then, you know, you do so much charity work that you think you're doing good. You know, but when you get higher, you know, they make you do nonsensical oaths, like you do an oath to this piece of paper and you'll never do anything bad to this piece of paper and you'll never desecrate it in any way under penalty of losing a finger. And then you'll draw something on it, turn it into an airplane, ball it into a ball, and then throw it in the fire. And then you don't lose your finger. You know, or you're going to make a sandwich, put it under a dome, put a spotlight on it, and you're going to worship this sandwich like it's a god. Then you're going to eat the sandwich. And that's under penalty of death, and you don't die. But you're going to take an oath that you'll never reveal that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west under penalty of losing your right hand. But you have to tell somebody that, because if you've got a child, he's going to ask about the sun. You're going to have to tell him that it rises east and sets in the west. And you do that, you don't lose your hand. What they're doing is that they make you promise thousands of oaths. But then when you break them, you don't lose a finger. You don't lose your hand. they don't poke out your eyes and you live. And what they've done is that they've watered down the oath. So you don't think there's any big deal to making an oath. It's nothing, it's nonsense. And then eventually what they have you do is around 22nd or 23rd degree, they have you start making Luciferian oaths.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't mean anything, because last week you made an oath to your sandwich. The week before that, you did something to your wife's dress. The week before that, to your lawnmower. The week before that, to a piece of paper. You know, by now you've made 10,000 oaths. None of them mean anything. It's just part of a ceremony. You say it, you break it, nothing happens to you. If you make it to 33rd degree and you're a Shriner, then you curse everybody in your family from you forward.
Whoa.
So your aunts and uncles are protected, they're fine. Your dad and mom are protected because they're behind you. But your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, I work with exorcists all around the world. And many times when we're trying to find out the root cause of, usually it's curse. You find out that like every third daughter has an abortion, or every fourth son committed suicide. And you're trying to figure out when this happened, what started. And a lot of times you'll figure out that the grandfather or the great-grandfather was a Shriner.
It's funny you say that. Not haha funny, but God allowed me to meet Pastor Greg Locke. And like early in March, he invited me to his church because they were doing actually a movie premiere. And the movie premiere was about deliverance. The movie was all about deliverance. And then at night, after on Sunday night, so that was Saturday, the movie premiere. Sunday morning, we had normal church. And then he's been doing deliverance services every Sunday night. And I got to go see that. And he talked about curses like that, where if your family was in the Shriners, or your family was a Freemason, or your family did anything, that you could get free from those curses. So that's interesting that you're saying that, because it goes right along with where I was like back in March learning this stuff from Pastor Greg Locke. It's very fascinating.
So when I was coming to these coven meetings, but not knowing it's a coven, I mean, these guys are doing anything I want to do, I'm free to do. You know, and I saw that teacher at she was just in the living room.
Whoa.
And I went to somebody and told that she was there, and I didn't want her to be there. I was freaked out by it. And I'm going to stop coming if she's going to be here. And she was friendly to me. She acted like nothing had ever happened.
Oh.
Like, why am I running away? What's going on? Why am I shy? You know, she doesn't remember being this shy before. And I told them about her. And so they went and talked to her, and I never saw her again. And they said that she would never be there again. But, you know, I had told them about what happened to me, you know, and told them that, you know, I was, you know, how bad I felt afterwards. And they told me that what happened to me was horrible and that should have never happened to anybody. But they have an opportunity where I can get my power back. Another lie of the devil, because we don't have any power. You know, they said, you can appear in, you know, those magazines and movies we showed you. You can appear in those, in the magazines and in the movies, and no one can tell you no. If you want to do something with somebody, they have to say yes to you. And if somebody wants to do something with you and you don't want to, you have the power to say no. So I was in child pornography for 4.5 years, not realizing that, a few things I didn't realize. One, I didn't realize that I was being re-victimized every time. You know, in my mind, because when I first saw those magazines and those movies, I was in a room full of kids. So I was thinking that everybody looking at these movies and magazines are other kids. It never occurred to me somewhere there was a man all alone in his house that's a pedophile, that's abusing himself most likely while he's watching this, thinking that he wishes he had a real child with him, you know, and he's wanting to abuse somebody, you know, I just thought it'd be another child looking at it. I didn't know that everybody, all the adults in these films are pedophiles, men and women. You know, there's a producer and a director, and, you know, there's the lighting and the gaff and the sound, and, you know, that every position that there would be in a regular movie is in this. But all these people got to be pedophiles to want to see all this.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just a bunch of kids having sex. You know, so.
And that, and you were comfortable with doing it in the camera, in front of the camera, with these people watching you?
That was fun for me.
Okay.
They were telling me I was going to be famous. You know, we would have people write in. Everybody in porn has a name, but you have a fake name, so your real name's not used. I was Tommy, and I was the only Hispanic kid that was in film. We had one black girl, we had one Asian girl, and everybody else was white. So people would send in requests that they wanted to see the Spanish kid, Tommy, do this or do that, you know, with whatever girls. But apparently I was in demand because I was a dark-skinned kid.
So you weren't embarrassed being naked in front of all these people doing it?
I like being naked as a kid. I mean,
well, that kind of is a boy thing too. Boys like to be naked.
I walk around my own house naked. You know, every once in a while, my dad would be like, "Why are you naked? Put on some clothes." But, you know, or my mom would say something. But if I could get away with being naked as a kid, I would do it.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. Are you getting tired of woke companies trying to destroy our country and strip off us all of our freedoms? Big Mobile is no exception. In fact, we should be calling them Woke Mobile. Did you know that Big Mobile gives tens of millions of dollars each year to organizations that are trying to take away the very freedoms that you and I are working so hard to defend? It's time to do something about it. So here's the good news. Do you have a choice in the matter, and is there an alternative? Well, Patriot Mobile is the America's only Christian conservative wireless provider who shares your values. They offer the very best in nationwide coverage on 4G and 5G LTE networks and an exceptional 100% base customer support. So Patriot Mobile donates a portion of every dollar they earn to conservative organizations that fight for our freedoms. They support organizations like First Liberty, Turning Point USA, Susan B. Anthony List, the NRA, Folds of Honor, Students for Life of America, and many more. And this year, they're going to give more than $1.5 million to conservative causes. And with your help, they aim to double that next year. So the time is now. Our votes are no longer enough. We must stand together and support other like-minded companies and share our beliefs and values. Your cell phone is one way we can stand together against the fight of the left and help make America great again. So Patriot Mobile offers discounts for veterans and first responders, NRA members, and families with multiple lines. So if you want to learn more, go to patriotmobile.com/amber. That's patriotmobile.com/amber and use promo code AMBER at checkout.
Hey there, I'm Darren.
And I'm Randy.
We're from Patriots with Grit, and you're watching The Amber May Show.
Check it out.
In the early 1900s, like in 1920s, 30s, with $20, you used to be able to buy an entire men's suit. You could get the handkerchief, the tie, the vest, the jacket, the pants, the belt, everything. And you could also buy that with a piece of gold. Now, in today's standards, you can't buy much with $20. Maybe a tie, maybe that's it. You could not even come close to an entire men's suit with a $20 bill. However, if you still had a piece of gold, you could still buy an entire men's suit with that piece of gold. See, silver and gold have intrinsic value, and it's had intrinsic value since the beginning of time. It's always been a currency around since the existence of man, gold and silver. So why not protect your investments and protect your earning power by owning some gold and silver? And the easiest way to do that is contacting Jim Tewell at EPSWealthManagement.com. That's Edward Paul Sam, wealthmanagement.com, EPSWealthManagement.com. give them a call and let them know you'd like them to have some tangible assets in your portfolio. You'd like to have some gold and silver, and he can help you do that. So if you're ready to protect yourself and protect your investments, then go ahead and give Jim Thiebold a call, whom you've seen on our program at epswealthmanagement.com. Let him know Amber May sent you. You are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
So being told that I'm allowed to be naked, and you're going to film me, and I can do whatever I want with this group of people. Now, what they did do before I started doing that, they sent me to a house where there were these three girls, three sisters. And I knew the sisters already, but I didn't hang out with them. And I mean, I was 12, one was 8, one was 11, and one was 14. So one's too old for me to hang out with, the other two were too young. So when I started hanging out with them, I went over there with a note. They gave me a note sealed in an envelope. They told me not to open it and to take it to their house. They lived a couple of blocks behind me. And so I went over to their house, knocked on the door. There's a bunch of kids in there. And I handed the middle girl this note, and she opened it up and read it. And then she got the older sister and showed it to her. And then they both took the little sister into a room and talked to her. And so they came back and got me. And I got to eat and drink something. And then they said that I was going to learn about sex from the youngest girl. And when she had taught me everything she knew, then I would graduate to the next girl. And once she had taught me everything she knew, then I would go to the older girl. And once I learned everything she knew, then I would be in movies. So probably close to 2 months. Of learning everything the 8-year-old knew. And all these girls had been in porn since they were three.
Since 3 years old. And that is so sad to me. And so when you were in porn, was it only children that you were engaging with, or did adults come and you were having to be in movies with adults too?
Could be with adults too. In a lot of movies, you have incest porn where nobody's really related, but they're playing your mom and dad. So they're playing your mom and dad, and they're not old enough to be your mom and dad. This is like your mom is like 20 years old, mm-hmm. and dad is like 22 or 23,
mm-hmm.
12. So, you know, she couldn't have had you when she was 8.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she's designed to, that they have her in a costume and she looks like she's older. Now, obviously she's not, but it seemed to me obvious that even to me, she looked like she was just barely older than me. But she would play my mom. And so in some of the films, I would sleep with my mom. Some of the films, I would sleep with my dad. But usually when I slept with dad, then there'd be girls in the bed too. And then I'd sleep with my brother or my sister. And it wasn't far-fetched, and it seemed normal, you know, and I was going to be a star, and I was going to be famous. And, you know, when I went to school in the 7th grade, all the males bragged about the sex they had the weekend before, and they weren't doing it. They were just lying. They were making up stories. Me and a lot of my friends were having sex on the weekend. We didn't tell anybody, you know, because we didn't want to get caught.
Now, think about that for a second. You said there are the 11 deacons in your church, and they're participating in this child pornography. How did they go to church? Like, how do the people in the satanic coven go to church and take leadership roles? I don't understand that. I have such a disconnect. And here your parents are trusting them because they're church going and they're in leadership. And yet all these pedophiles are in leadership at your church. So I'm just wondering, are more kids being victimized at the church? Like, how does that, it just doesn't make sense to me. Maybe you can fill me in on that side.
I got a call. Probably 8 years ago, I was living in Florida, and somebody told me that they were thinking that their Baptist church in Jacksonville, Florida, that there was an issue there because they've heard my talks, and they have a lot of sex scandals with the minister of music or the minister of youth or the pastor, and they wonder what's going on. And so I explained how these things happen and what you're seeing. Like, the girl in question is the Satanist, you know, and her job is to have sex with these people. And then her job is to act the victim. You know, yes, on some level, she is a victim because, you know, you shouldn't be groomed your entire life to have sex with your Baptist preacher and then claimed he raped me or he seduced me. You know, when in reality, you seduced him, but you were trained to do that. From a very young age, you're trained to do that. And, but, you know, I gave them the best advice I could. And then it was a couple of years ago, that story broke. And there was an FBI investigation at that church. And there was a lot of people, I think, got arrested. And there had been a lot of people already that had been investigated for doing things. But I don't know that they ever got the connection that it was a group of girls that were planning all this stuff with their parents. I think they probably just thought that somehow rapists were gravitating towards this church.
I didn't think that people who were in the satanic world would be able to stand the worship of God. You know, I know just I've dealt with the spiritual side just because I got directly attacked by Satan. I don't know why he would come to me in appearance. I didn't do anything. I was a good Christian girl. Like, and he came up to me at a young age, 4 years old, and he was holding a toy. He woke me up in the middle of the night. I heard the TV going on. I didn't know it was the middle of the night. I thought my parents were still up. And I go out there in the living room, and this dark shadow was holding a toy, telling me to come to him. I've never participated in anything satanic related, and I resisted, right? The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee for you. But I've also been in situations where you just start worshiping and they also flee. So how is it possible that these people that are worshiping Satan can go to church, hear the worship music, hear the word of God, and they can stand it and they're there and they don't flee? Like, I don't understand that part.
When I was in my second satanic covenant, We attacked the churches that do Satan harm. There are 66,000 Protestant denominations. The only church he attacked was the Baptists until about 1995. And then by 95, their four-length skirts were now mini skirts. They used to talk against abortion. Now they're talking about my daughter just had an abortion. And they used to talk against homosexuality. And then around 1993 or 92, I went to a Baptist, it wasn't called a wedding, but it was basically a gay wedding at a Baptist church. And I thought, wow, we really watered down their faith. 1995, Satan stopped attacking the Baptists. They were no longer a threat. And he doesn't, organized Satanism does not attack any other Protestant church. And it's really sad, but it's like, if this is my point is, why would you belong to a church that's not being attacked by the devil? You know, the devil doesn't see your church as a threat. Why do you belong to that church?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. So that's why you're no longer Baptist. This is why you went to Catholic, because you see that the Baptists watered down the faith, and that's why, so because.
Well, what also happened at the Baptist church, though, I got disgruntled as a kid because every single sermon, I cannot emphasize enough, every single sermon, every Sunday, every Wednesday, every sermon was about giving money to the Baptist church. We had a sermon on Jesus wept. Do you know why Jesus wept?
Is it because he needed you to fund the church so that more gospel can come out?
You're close. Jesus wept because he saw the state of the Baptist church, and he saw that not enough people were donating money.
Oh my goodness. Maybe it was just that pastor, because I grew up Baptist and I didn't hear that sermon. Maybe it was just that
While I was Baptist, I think we had 3 Baptist preachers. And they told the same stories from the same books. Finally, I realized that they were getting the stories out of books, because the first preacher told it as if that was his personal story. But then when the second Baptist preacher came along, he told the same story, but he told it as if he got it from a book.
Mm.
And then the third person came along and he told the story, but he would mispronounce a lot of the names. Like he mispronounced Leonard Bernstein. That's what he said, Leonard, instead of Leonard, Leonard Bernstein. And I thought, oh my gosh, these guys are getting all these stories from the same book. And but every sermon had to do with giving money. And I told my dad, that whole Bible could not be about donating money to the Baptist church. So this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go to Sunday service on Sunday. And if I hear a sermon about giving money, I'm gonna walk back home. Don't worry about coming to pick me up.
I don't blame you, because if that's what I grew up, if that was my experience, I'd have felt the same way. I just had a different experience in my Baptist church. Like we got the preacher preach about a lot of things. Back in the 80s, though, there was a lot of fire and brimstone preaching in the Baptist church.
I would have liked that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have gone off in the direction I went. But instead, when I was 15 years old, I go to the church. My mom takes me, drops me and my brother off. And I'm sitting there. And I told him I didn't have a problem with the tithing. You know, right. Church has got to run.
Right.
Things have got to be turned on. The air conditioner's got to be on. You know, all the rooms need whatever they need. You know, I'm good with that. But every sermon doesn't have to be about money.
Correct.
So I was sitting there and there it went. He launched right into giving money. I got up and walked out. Now, our Baptist service was broadcast live on the area's country music radio show.
Mm.
My parents always listened to that. And when I got home, my mom said, your father is very ticked off at you. I said, why? I didn't make the Baptist preacher talk about money. As a matter of fact, Dad could have called him and told him, don't talk about this on Sunday, because if you do, my son will leave.
Mm-hmm.
And he could have done that. He could have done a preemptive strike, but he chose not to.
Now, I find this story fascinating, sir, because here you're still going to church, but participating in wicked things. Okay. You are also being very victimized. You don't even realize you got lied to, thinking, well, you were sexually assaulted. So now I'm taking my power back. But you have been kept being sexually assaulted for years now, both by males and females. Yet you're still going to this church. There has to be some type of spiritual war going on inside of you, I would think.
I went to the church because my coven told me to keep up appearances.
Okay.
Otherwise, they thought that my dad might get suspicious, might think something's going on. So eventually that day when I got home, my dad told me that I was the most irresponsible person he knows. And I said, I didn't make the Baptist preacher do a sermon about money. I said, and while we're on that topic, why didn't you call him and tell him not to do it? If he hadn't done it, I wouldn't be here right now. I said, I hung everything on today's sermon. Because if he'd have done it next week, but not done it this week, I'd have been in church. I'd have been like, well, he didn't do it the day I said. So God's in control, I guess. But now I see that God's not in control and that the Baptist church is all about money. I'm not interested. I'm not going back.
Hmm.
And he's like, you should go back. I said, why? So he can tell me about the more money I need to give?
Yeah, I see your point.
Yeah, I don't need to hear that. I'm good with that. So going back to me being 12 years old and learning, you know, I graduated from girl to girl to girl. Now, going back to those 3 girls, their mom had been in porn also when she was like 5 years old. So she grew up being in that. And then eventually she had kids. She never got married. You know, she had three kids. And because she knew about porn, she knew about child pornography, she put each one of her daughters through the same thing.
Oh my God. And, victims making victims. I don't understand this mentality. Maybe you can enlighten me. I'm a mom, right? Did they sear her conscience into, I don't understand this. How does one parent do that to their child? Your parents had no clue. Okay. What was going on for you? I mean, you are still thinking you're having fun, even though you're being victimized, right? Like,
I was thinking about 25% of the kids there knew why they were there. Like, they voluntarily, oh, I get to have sex. Okay, sign me up. You know, and they were having a good time doing it. But the other 75% were trafficked. You know, we had little girls that would be there, and clearly they're starving to death. And I would get lunch, and I would share my food with some of the other kids, or I'd just give them my food. This little girl looks like she hasn't eaten in days. And then I would get in trouble. Like, you can't give them food because they have to do a good job today so they can get fed. You know, and it's like, well, that's not right. You know, it's like, that's mean. And it's like, well, that's their protocol. That's the protocol they're under. They have to do a good job today. If they do a good job today and tomorrow, they can have food on day three. You know, and I was like, okay. So I'd say okay, and then I would just sneak them food. You know, and they would like scarf it down like they haven't eaten in 2 or 3 days. Mm. You know, and there are these little girls and little boys that did, I mean, they'd cry for their mom. You know, it's like, who's your mom? I don't know. Where is she? I don't know. Or they would know, but it would be in like a town that I've never heard of. And I mean, I knew a lot about Florida, but they wouldn't be in Florida. You know, the place they live, it snows. You know, I've never seen snow. I lived in Florida, I lived in Southwest Florida. You know, so I'm like, I don't know what that is. I don't know where it snows. You know, and you know, we had a black girl that wasn't even from our country, and she didn't speak English. Wow. We watched her die. She had a bunch of men that were having sex with her, one right after another. And after she had sex with about, I guess, 20 guys or 25, she got a shot in her arm. And I guess she was given too much, she OD'd. And while she was dying, men were still having sex with her. And after she died, men continued to have sex with her.
That's disgusting.
Continued until the last man. And then the last guy finished off, and they covered her with a blanket, and about, she'd been dead for a couple of hours. A cop showed up in uniform, and he said he would get rid of the body. He'd get rid of her. And he wrapped her in like a small rug and threw her over his shoulder and walked out the door with her.
So probably he was part of the coven, I would think.
And then I kept watching. We had three newspapers that we would get, the weekly newspaper, also the Palm Beach Post and the Miami Herald, and the Fort Myers News Press. So we would get all three of these papers. And so I would read through all of them, trying to find, you know, the body of this dead girl. But I never saw anything about a dead girl being found. But I also lived in the Everglades, so we could have just taken her out and fed her to an alligator, I guess.
So, okay, there's a lot of child porn going on, a lot of men and girls, and I imagine at some point there's going to be pregnancies. Did you see any of that? Were some of these girls that were getting sexually assaulted get pregnant?
I only saw one, but that story will be coming. So I was still 12, and this older kid, by the way, how long do I have to talk?
Like half hour longer?
Okay. This older kid came up to me and he said, you know, you're in a satanic coven, right? And he laughed and ran away. And I thought, there's no way I'm going to say satanic coven. And I've seen Rosemary's Baby. I've seen a bunch of creepy movies, Sentinel, The Brownstone. You know, and again, creepy music when the bad guy's on the screen, mm-hmm. creepy music when the devil's there. You know, I'm not feeling any of that. There's none of that vibe is there. It doesn't feel bad. I mean, like, my parents are the no police. These guys let me do anything I want. Satan is the man. He lets me do anything I want to do. So, but after a couple of weeks, I was like, I wonder if this is a satanic. So I went up to one of the adults I trusted and I said, hey, I got a story for you. He goes, sure, what? I said, you're going to laugh. I said, I heard this was a satanic coven. Crazy, right? And he said, it is. And my heart sunk into my stomach. And I said, I'm not a member, am I? No, not yet. Would you like to be? And that's when your people ask me, didn't you know right from wrong? Why would you want to belong to a satanic coven? Now, in my Baptist church, I was taught that Jesus defeated the devil on the cross 2,000 years ago, and the devil is no threat now. The devil can't do anything to you.
Unless you let him do something to you.
Well, we weren't told that.
See, that's the difference that I want to make sure people listening to this episode realize that he doesn't have power over you unless you give him power, unless you give him cracks to come into your home and spaces to come into your home. The power of Jesus's blood casts out everything. But if you give him a spot or a foothold in your life, or if you give him power over you,
right?
You know, that's when that can happen. And so that's what happened to you when you started playing Dungeons and Dragons and casting spells. You were giving him these footholds in your life. And then he was enticing you with the worldly possessions and the worldly things that ended up not being good for you. I mean, being a sexual victim was not good for you, but you didn't understand that because he warped your way of thinking.
Right. So I'm thinking, you know, I like to smoke cigarettes almost every day. You got to be 19 to buy cigarettes. I'm 12. I'm addicted to porn. I'm addicted to masturbation. I'm a sex addict. You got to be 18 to buy porn. I'm still 12. I'm an alcoholic. I love me some booze. I would drink booze before I'd go to school. My mom would make me a large orange juice in a cardboard cup, and I'd walk to school. But on the way to school, I'd get some vodka and pour it in there.
Oh, man.
A screwdriver on the way to school. Got to be 21 to buy booze.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still 12. I'm addicted to drugs because I can take drugs anytime I want. You know, I love my favorite things were mushrooms, marijuana, acid, and MDMA. And I love to take acid and MDMA at the same time.
Ooh.
It's called candy flipping. The best feeling in the world. Well, if I quit this coven, I don't know where to buy these drugs. I mean, I don't have any money either. I mean, I can do magic and get money. But where am I going to get the drugs? The only place I know is here. I have sex almost every day.
So your parents let you go there every single day?
I could go anytime I wanted.
They wouldn't say no?
No. Wow. They like these people. Hmm. So if I stop going here, I'm not going to have sex anymore. I'm not going to be able to drink. I'm not going to be able to smoke. I'm not going to be able to do drugs. Everything I like to do, anything I want to eat, I can come here. I can go to my house and eat vegetables 3 times a day, you know, eat cereal in the morning, or I can come here and eat anything I want, anytime I want. Why on earth would I quit? Everything I want to do and love to do is right here. The worst thing I couldn't imagine if I left. Everything, I'd kill myself afterwards because my whole world would fall apart. So what do I got to do to be a member? And he says, there's 13 steps to being a Satanist, and I'd done almost all of them already. The only thing I had left to do, I had to slice my left thumb, bleed onto a document, and sign it in three places in my blood. The blood of Jesus died for it. The blood of Jesus, let me see. The blood of Jesus saves everyone but me.
Lie number one.
And Jesus died for everyone, but not me.
Lie number two.
And on the
final, because John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that, you know, whoever believes in him will not die, but have everlasting life. Lies, 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 right?
And on the final page of a 5-page document, I agreed to sell my soul to the devil.
Line number three.
That is line number three. You cannot sell what you don't own. You know, as I tell people in my talks, God died for you.
Right.
Jesus paid the ultimate price for your soul. You don't own it. You can't lease it. You can't loan it. And you certainly cannot sell it. I'm here to confirm that the devil is a liar. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. You can't believe anything he says. If the devil says good morning, get a second opinion. So, but I believe the lie. I was 13 years old. I agreed. I signed all this. We showed up at a coven meeting. We had about 150 coven members there. And I'm in a white robe signifying I'm losing my innocence. And they baptize you full submersion in a demon head vat that is filled with human blood, pig's blood, and human urine.
I don't even want to know how they got that much human blood. I mean, you really have to think about, where did they get that much human blood from? It can't be anything good. I'm thinking sacrifices at this point.
I would imagine, but it is also pig's blood.
Still, I mean.
And then I went into another room and I took a shower, and it came out in a black robe with an inverted red pentagram on it. But that's not the robe I wanted. I wanted the red robe with the black inverted pentagram, because that's the main magic practitioner, and magic consumed me. I was addicted to magic. And so in that one, you sit in a chair and they give you a wheel with a crucifix in it, and you spin the crucifix upside down, showing human sacrifice. And you grab the arms of the crucifix, and they read the document that you read the night before that you signed. And then you show your left thumb, show that it was your thumb that you sliced. It's your left thumb because it's closest to your heart. And then you break the arms downward on the crucifix, and what you're left with looks like a peace sign. And then they take your document and intertwine it with that. And they tell you that this is now going to go into a vault, and it's forever tied to you, and you're going to celebrate that you're now a Satanist. But the reality is, you're celebrating that one day you're going to die and go to hell. And then when I was 14 years old, I was told that I was going to participate in a sex party, and it'll be with all the male members between 12 and 15 years old.
Ooh.
And a female member that was 19. And she's a breeder. And her job is to get pregnant and go have abortions. And they said I was gonna practice with a scalpel and an apple or an orange or a ball of Play-Doh. And I said, cool. And I went home. And I figured I'd just look up the word abortion. I didn't know what it meant. The only thing I knew about the word abortion is that my parents whispered it one time. So I thought it was a dirty word. Turns out I was right. Abortion is one of the dirtiest words there is. And, but I couldn't find, the dictionary I had was so old, it didn't have the word abortion in it. So I went to the library, had two books on abortion, and both of them were about 2 inches thick. And I made it through school on Cliff Notes. I can't read that. So I went back to my coven and I said, hey, I heard I'm going to do an abortion in about 9 months. I don't know what that means. He goes, oh, you're going to kill a baby. I was like, is that legal? He goes, in the womb legal, out of the womb murder. So I practiced for 8 or 9 months.
And nothing, like, you were okay with this idea? Like, it didn't, nothing inside of you was like, what the hell am I doing?
Abortion's legal. You can murder as much as you want. This was my thought. This is my mentality. You can murder as many people as you want as long as you do it in the womb. Why isn't every Satanist an abortion doctor?
Maybe they are.
True. Yeah, that is, I've found that out, that there are a lot that aren't. There's a abortion doctor that is dying right now. He's very famous. He's done tens of thousands of abortions. And they say he probably won't last the week. And we just had masses, perpetual masses, sent for him. We paid for them yesterday. And we sent out a newsletter so that a lot of people would pray for him. Because, I mean, he's on the brink of hell. He doesn't know it.
Yep.
Or maybe he does know it.
He probably knows it.
His name is Carhart. He's one of the famous abortion doctors.
So what do they do? Because I want to make sure we get some really good points before our show is coming to an end. We know that child trafficking is from the devil. Pornography is from the devil. Your coven practice both of these things. Right. We know abortion is from the devil. They want to kill you inside the womb. They want to take the innocence of every child. What do they do? I women need to understand, society needs to understand what they do with the aborted baby. This is all satanic rituals, all of this. This is not women's health. This is satanic rituals. The lie is it's women's health. That's the lie. There's nothing healthy about an abortion. You said it yourself in a previous episode with somebody else that once you can only have a birthing woman can only have an abortion so many times before she can no longer carry a baby. Right. It's not about women's health. It destroys the uterus. It kills. You just said it. Your coven said it. Murder the baby.
Are you looking for a doctor you can trust? Then look no farther than Dr. Meehan, and you can find him at MeehanMD.com. That's M-E-E-H-A-N as in Nancy, MD.com for all your healthcare supplemental and telemed needs. And you know what my family did? We shopped at his supplemental store and we purchased these two items to help support our gut health. These are supporting our gut health because you know what? The gut health is so important. Our immune system is in the gut. Our serotonin's made in the gut. And so the most Americans, if you know, have a leaky gut. So if you're looking to improve your health, whether you're improving your gut health or your immune system, or you just have something that you need to talk to a physician about, go to MeehanMD.com. That's M-E-E-H-A-N as in Nancy, MD.com. And while you're there, make sure you use the promo code AMBER so you can save some money. And while you're at the website, make sure you set up your telemed appointment and then check out all his supplements that he offers as well. That's MeehanMD.com. Use promo code AMBER at checkout.
Hello, this is Tanya Joy from Beauty for Ashes, and you are watching The Amber May Show.
You're still looking good.
I'm still feeling good. You know, I've got all your MyPillow products. Mattress topper, bed sheets, MyPillows, towels, slippers, blankets, sleepwear, dog.
Whoa, Charles. Everyone now can get MyPillow products at huge discounts at MyPillow.com. That's right. Now's the time to go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to take advantage of our 3-in-1 sale. We're bringing you exciting new products, overstock specials, and closeout deals you won't find anywhere else. For example, when you buy one of our brand new MyPillow 2.0s, you get another one absolutely free. And with our overstock sale, you save 50% on our luxurious Giza Dream bed sheets. That's as low as $29.99 for the best sheets ever. And with our biggest closeout special, you get our all-season slippers for only $35. Or our sandals and slides for just $25. Quantities are limited, and once they're gone, they're gone.
Thank you for joining us today on The Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at The Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on The Amber May Show.